There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Am I your type of holiday?
If you're listening for the first time and you have no idea what we're talking about, what we do is we give you holiday ideas based on one specific theme. So far, we've had car holidays, we've had underground holidays, we've also had some amazing but low-key film festivals. That was during when we were at the Dubai International Film
Festival. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so we're talking all about, you know, one specific theme. But this one's a weird one, I think, this time.
Why are you looking at me like that? Do you think I'll like it?
Yeah, I think you will. I like it. It's something I would like to do. And we're going salt tasting.
Salt tasting.
Yeah, you heard that right. Salt tasting.
Yeah, come on, darling. Let's go on a salt tasting holiday, shall we? I mean, it is a little bit odd, isn't it?
It is. But now salt is, it's an essential, you know, in our lives. It's a flavor enhancer. You can use it as a preservative, a purifier. It's been celebrated. Plenty of superstition around it as well. And even made popular by the popular TV show called Supernatural.
Hey, what? Listen to me. There's some salt in my duffel. Make a circle and get inside.
Inside your duffel bag?
In the salt, you idiot!
Oh, yeah.
Now, I've been looking, you know, at a few facts for salt. That right up to the 20th century, get a load of this. Pound bars of salt, they were called amalay, were the basic currency in Abyssinia, which is now called Ethiopia.
Wow.
So they actually used to use it as currency, as money.
Yeah,
fun fact. A bar of salt.
Yeah, yeah, Ethiopia is also on this list.
Is it really? Mm. Yeah. So how much is that dress over there? Oh, it's 150 pound bars of salt,
that's
please.
That's far too much salt. So, you know, fans of the show, as you heard, Supernatural, they'll know that salt was used to keep the ghosts out by standing in a circle of salt, apparently. Now, I don't know about it. I've never tried it, but apparently that's what the TV show says. But salt has gotten more popular based on its colour, like, you know, pink salt. And apparently salt tasting exists as well. It was introduced by Thomas Keller about 15 years ago as part of the degustation at the French Laundry in Napa Valley. That's his restaurant there.
Yeah.
And it continued into his New York restaurant as well, called Per Se, and it still exists there. Plenty of reviews online if you're interested. So it's not just salt, like it's food, but there's also like different types of salt on the table.
Yeah, so there's like connoisseurs of salt who go and, let's try this one over here and that one over there and compare them.
Yeah, I've got three types of salt at home, by the way.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've got sea salt that, kind of in the twister thing.
Sea salt is just for flavouring. It's not for cooking.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. So what three types have you got?
I've got the regular salt that, you know, you get in your big bottles.
Yeah.
That's what I use for cooking. I've got the sea salt that I use for flavouring on top. And I've got rock salt or pink salt, which is quite well known in India as well. We use it when we're fasting. But I'll tell you more about that.
Right, okay.
But we're going to start with the obvious one. And we're going to Bolivia.
Is that the salt capital of the world?
No, it's known for its salt mines and its salt fields.
Yeah.
So it's called Salar de Uyuni. I'm probably not saying it right, but it's the world's largest salt flat. It's 10,582 square kilometers. It's located in the Daniel Campos province in Potosi in southwest Bolivia. And it's got an elevation of 3,656 meters above sea level. So it's... You know, it's
well above.
Exactly. It's also used by NASA and other space agencies to calibrate satellites from space because it's so easily visible from space.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's estimated to contain over 9 million tons of salt and somewhere in the range of 40 to 70% of the world's lithium reserves. So you're talking large scale salt production.
That's amazing, isn't it? I mean, can wildlife live there?
I think there are flamingos there, three types of them, actually.
Yeah.
There's the Andean, the Chilean, and there's the rarest kind. It's called the James or James, if you know, however you pronounce it. So three types of flamingos there. It used to be a prehistoric lake called Minchin about 4,000 years ago. But the best part about it is it was recently made famous for being in a very special movie. If you've watched Star Wars The Last Jedi... There was a major battle scene that was filmed there. And here we have director Rian Johnson talking about that scene.
The other big new world is Crate. We shot in Bolivia on the salt flats.
It's got this red mineral covered with salt flakes that gives it a sort of a white blank canvas.
What would a battle on a planet like that look like?
So, they crop up in movies.
Yeah. So it was in Star Wars. If you've watched it, The Last Jedi, it's where the final fight takes place. And, you know, there are all these, the great copter scenes, and, you know, they're sliding across it, and the white sand kind of thing is turning red. And you're thinking, is that blood? But it's actually salt.
That's amazing, isn't it? So they took all that crew, all them cameras, all them people to over Bolivia. To Bolivia.
And created their island, the escape island.
Yeah, so I suppose that could be, you know, a tourist trap in itself. You know, people want to go and see where films are shot, don't they? They love that, especially a movie as big as Star Wars.
Yeah, I mean, the Bolivia Salt Flats, they're known, it's quite a famous tourist destination anyway. And I feel like now with how Star Wars has done to Ireland as well, it's going to put Bolivia even more so on the map. And people, even Star Wars fans, are going to be more excited to go discover this place.
Right. Am I your type of holiday?
We are talking about salt holidays. You heard that right. And if you're listening for the first time, what we do is we give you a holiday idea based on a specific theme. So far, we've done underground holidays, we've done car holidays, we've done film festivals, and currently we're doing salt holidays. So tasting salt, going on mining, you know, places where salt is mined, or even visiting the salt flats. We've got a text from Mike who says, Salzburg, Austria, salt mine tour. Amazing, not to be missed. He says, it's been 30 years. I assume the tour are still available. I think that's the one I kind of left off my list. But yeah, definitely want to check out. And another one, I think this one needs our help. It says, hi, I'm on my way home and listening to the ticket. I need urgent help. I need to find jalapenos. Feel like Shruti would have the answer. My guests come in an hour, every second counts. Fresh jalapeno peppers. Spinnies, maybe?
Yeah. Do they have them there?
Fresh jalapenos. I have seen the bottled ones in quite a few supermarkets. But if I'm not mistaken, Park and Shop had some jalapenos a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
When I'd gone there. There's one next to my house in JLT.
Well, there's a couple of suggestions for you. Pop along to those two supermarkets. I mean, when we're on the subject of salt, here's another little fact for you. I'm getting very salty today. In the Middle Ages, salt was so expensive, it was sometimes referred to as white gold.
White gold?
Yeah, it was as valuable as that. And black salt is made in India by mixing salt water with the Harad seeds. Then that mixture, they leave it to evaporate, and it leaves behind black lumps of salt. When the salt is ground, the resulting powder then becomes pink.
Do you know, you said you're feeling salty?
Yeah.
Do you know what it means?
Thirsty?
Apparently now it means you're angry or you're agitated or upset.
Does it really?
Yeah. Or it could be, if you call someone salty, it's like someone's being mean. So that was salty. That wasn't good.
Anyway, talking to locations for salt holidays, we've already been to Bolivia. Where are you taking us next?
Yeah, so we've been to Bolivia where Star Wars was filmed. And now we're heading to Goderich, Canada. It's the world's single largest salt mine. Jerry Rogers is the VP of Operations at Compass Minerals. And he spoke to a news agency in Canada.
If you look at the CN Tower in Toronto, that's about how deep the mine is. From the top of the needle to the bottom of the base of the tower, that's about how deep our mine is. And the seam's about 100 feet thick, and the approximate size of the mine, the span of the mine, is about 7 kilometers to 7.5 kilometers in length. It's under Lake Huron, yes. Yeah. We only mine about 65 feet of that seam. On the top of that 65 feet, we have a development phase. We bring our production drills in, and we drill holes on the remaining bit, the 45 feet. And we drill the holes, and once the holes are drilled, we load them with explosives, and then we blast them, which makes a big pile of salt. And the trucks drive them all the way to our crusher.
Yeah, so this is a large ancient source of salt. It's beneath the area. It extends under the Canadian border right until the northeastern US. And it's the remains of a prehistoric sea from around 420 million years ago.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that, isn't it? I like it. Yeah, Canada, great country.
So we've been to Bolivia, we've been to Canada. Now we're heading off to Poland, specifically to the St. Kinga's Chapel in Wieliczka salt mine near Krakow. The historic mine extends for about a total of 300 kilometres and it functioned continuously since the Middle Ages until 1996, when the salt bed ceased to be exploited completely. The mine, which is now currently the UNESCO Cultural and Natural Heritages List, it serves for tourism, museum and even health purposes. Now, I found a little clip of Rick Steves telling us what happens there.
The remarkable Wieliczka salt mine, just outside of Krakow, has been producing salt for 8 centuries. Today, it's busy not with miners, but with tourists. After descending 200 feet below the surface, you follow your guide on a mile-long downhill stroll, getting a memorable peek at life in the mine. It's vast, 9 levels, 1,000 feet deep, over 100 miles of tunnels. For centuries, generations of Wieliczka miners spent their daylight hours underground, rarely seeing the sun. Proud miners carved figures of great Poles out of the salt. You'll see legends from the days of King Kazimierz, when 1/3 of Poland's income came from these precious deposits. The famous astronomer Copernicus. And even the region's favorite son, Pope John Paul II.
That's interesting, isn't it? And I've just been reading up a bit more salt. Would you believe only 6% of the salt used in the United States is in food? Another 17% is used for de-icing streets and highways in the winter months.
Doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, it's a bit like that where I come from, salting the roads.
Yeah, in Canada as well, you know, where we spoke about the single largest salt mine, they use that for de-icing the roads as well. And, you know, here we're talking about Poland. We've just got a text from Ella talking about the same place, fantastic place, apparently. I've seen pictures of it. It is beautiful. Yeah. They've taken these salt mines, right? And they've carved into the cave, like into the area. So on your walls, made out of salt, are all these great portraits and statues. And it looks beautiful. It's definitely on my list now of places to visit. But from Poland, we're heading off to Romania. Well, first, we're going to the Praed salt mine. It's 350 kilometers north of Bucharest. A part of the mine is located 160 meters deep and 1.3 kilometers from the entrance. It's open to tourists. And it also uses therapy for respiratory problems such as bronchitis or asthma. And it's also, it has highly ionized air and a higher atmospheric pressure than on the surface. So that's one option in Romania. Another place, which is quite famous in Romania, is the Salina Turda.
Located in Romania, around 400 feet below the town's surface, is the Salina Turda, an underground theme park inside one of the oldest salt mines in the world. Salina Turda is believed to be nearly 2,000 years old. During its time as a salt mine, it is estimated that over 3 billion tons of salt was excavated from the walls before mining stopped in 1932. This underground hub has had various uses in the past, from a cheese storage center to a World War II bomb shelter. But its current usage is perhaps its most unique.
So that's over there in Romania.
Yeah, Salina Turda. And it's an underground amusement park. Isn't that interesting?
Amusement park, made of salt.
Yep. Well, not made of salt, but it's in one of the salt mines.
Am I your type of holiday?
So we're looking at salt holidays, whether it be going to a salt mine, going to salt fields, even going underground to visit an underground amusement park that was made into a salt mine.
I'm amazed at how many ticketers have actually been on salty holidays.
Yeah.
Northwich in Cheshire in the UK has a salt museum, says one of our listeners.
Yeah, Axum says salt mine in Hallstatt, Salzburg is also popular. Hallstatt is a beautiful village in itself. And Ella already told us about the one in Poland that we spoke about before we went away. Now we're going to move on into a type of salt that I think, Mark, you're really familiar with. It's the sea salt.
I'm very familiar with sea salt. As a few years ago, I was working on our sister station, 92 at the time. And I went on a press trip over to Jordan. And
That's the Dead Sea. I'm talking about sea salt.
Oh, you're talking about sea salt?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're talking about the fleur de sel, or the flower of salt, which you normally get in places like Ibiza in Spain.
Okay.
Or you get it in Camargue and Brittany in France.
Yeah.
And it's a salt that forms a thin crusty layer on the surface of seawater as it evaporates. And it has been collected since ancient times. Apparently, it was mentioned by Pliny the Elder in his book, Natural History. So it goes back all the way there. And the name comes from the flower-like patterns of crystal in the salt crust. And it's, I think, one of the most popular types of salt, sea salt. And now we even have sea salt and caramel like cookies and macarons and stuff. That's quite famous. So it's really beautiful if you go to south of France, and some of the places they have these pink looking fields.
Okay.
And that's one of the places where you can get the sea salt. Very beautiful, very expensive there as well. So that's one option. But now we're going to move on to the Dead Sea.
Yeah, like I was saying, I was over there in Jordan a few years ago on 92, and I actually did a report into the radio station while I was floating in the Dead Sea.
Oh, wow.
I had to, you know, keep my microphone a little bit high out of the water. But yeah, I popped down there. The water was lapping up. And here's a little kind of memory for me of that trip to the Dead Sea, which is the saltiest in the world. Well, there we can hear the sounds of the waves lapping here on the Dead Sea. It's 10 minutes after 9 o'clock. Beautiful morning, and I'm just going to take that plunge. It's a little bit cold, I have to say, colder than I expected. But, of course, something that you've got to do when you come to the Dead Sea is float. And I'm going to do that right now as I just kind of lower myself into the water. I've got my guide with me, Abdul Salam, who's a just going to hold my recorder while I kind of float. And there I am, I'm floating, I'm horizontal, and probably one of the main tourist attractions. Everybody wants to float in the Dead Sea, Abdul Salam.
Yeah, of course. When you see all the pictures of the Dead Sea, you'll see a very beautiful lady floating on the Dead Sea with her newspaper or a book, and then an orange juice beside her.
Talking about the Dead Sea, let's first of all describe exactly where we are, because we're very low on the planet, and the air really kind of reflects that. When we breathe in, it's just so fresh. How many meters below sea level are we?
It's around 400 meters.
400 meters below.
400 meters below, okay. Yeah, under the sea level.
So we're a long way down, and, you know, I mean, you were talking about this last night, about, you know, that a lot of people come here with various illnesses, you know, they need to recuperate, and the air here is very therapeutic.
Yeah, of course. We say around the Dead Sea here, it's more or less 8 times or 10 times richer than the sea level with oxygen. So I mean here, the air full with oxygen. So that's the point. You will relax naturally. You can't, or you don't feel it, but there's a lot of oxygen here, so you'll breathe easily. Mm-hmm. A lot of oxygen will help you a lot to relax, and that's the most important.
So that's me floating around in the Dead Sea a few years ago, and I also, like a lot of the tourists that go there, put all the mud on from the Dead Sea, cover myself in it. You can, you know, see people walking around coloured brown. It's all this mud on them, and that's supposed to be very good for your skin. It's got all kinds of minerals in it.
Yeah, exactly. The minerals, I suppose that's what people will be going there for. So that's the one in Jordan. It's 430.5 metres below sea level, and it's the Earth's lowest elevation on land. So that's one to tick off your list if you have been. That's another one that I really want to go to as well before it disappears. Another place that you can go to, I can't go there, but it's called it's the Punjab region in Pakistan. It's got the Himalayan salt, and it's a rock salt. It was also called the Himalayan pink salt after the iron-rich pink clay ore is found there. It's said to have been discovered around 326 BC when the troops led by Alexander the Great stopped to rest there and noticed their horse licking the salty rocks.
Really?
Yeah. So it was probably mined there from them, but the first records of mining are from Janujua people in the 1200s, and this kind of salt is mostly mined at the Kerwa salt mine in Kerwa Jhelum, that's in Punjab in Pakistan. It's located about 310 kilometers from the Himalayas, 260 kilometers from Lahore, and about 298 kilometers from Amritsar in India.
Interesting. Now, when we started this little piece off talking about salty holidays, I said that right up until the 20th century, pound bars of salt were the basic currency in what is now Ethiopia, and that's where we're going to wrap things up.
We are. We're going to northern Ethiopia's Afar Depression. It's also called the Danakil Depression. It's one of the hottest places on Earth. So parts of the region are more than 300 feet below sea level, where temperatures reach over and about 49 degrees Celsius in the summer. And they even have active volcanoes, so you can imagine how hot it gets, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But the colourful and extremely Afar is also home to a very valuable commodity, which is salt. And for centuries, the Afar people have mined rich salt deposits left behind by the Red Sea floods in the region, most recently about 30,000 years ago. And now today, workers cut slabs of salt from the earth. They pack them onto the camels for day-long journeys across the desert to a market town, where the slabs are then sold to merchants and loaded onto trucks. So that's another place, you know, which is why there was actually a Nat Geo documentary that was made on it. Mm. And it just shows the plight of these workers because, they, you know, they're working in harsh conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.